You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCED. Today will be another short show. I've been somewhat under the weather and decided to make it a short show, probably about 30 minutes, a little over 30 minutes. And there's a news story on Drudge that I want to really make some connections to, but I want to give you a little background. This show is out of Texas, and very little land in Texas is actually owned by the federal government. Now, Texas, after Alaska, is the largest state, but Alaska, 69%, a little over 69% of all the land in Alaska is owned by the federal government. Now, if you live on the East Coast, very few states, most of the land is privately owned. You're going to have some government buildings, some land. I think in the East, for example, the one state that really has a lot of federal land is New Hampshire, but there it's about 13.5%. In other words, it's not the lion's share. Now, that's not the case in terms of the western states. Nevada, for example, over 80%, approximately 84% of the land in Nevada is owned by the federal government, with Alaska being second with roughly 69%, and Utah with 57%. Oregon, this might surprise you, it did me, over 53%. Now, I have a chart. Actually, I have several maps and a chart that gives you this information. And the way you listen to the show, as well as you get my notes for the show, is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to my show. Usually I have the last 50 to 60 shows. So it's constantly being more and more shows I give, then I delete the ones that were over 3 months ago. That's at the very top. But under that, you have some of the information I looked at preparing the show. And that includes videos, it includes photographs, maps, depending on the show. Some might have charts. For this time, for example, I thought it was very, very useful to show some maps of the country, and as well as the state of Nevada, what percentage of the land is controlled. Because a lot of Americans simply aren't aware of this. I'm willing to bet if you ask, I call them the dummies on the street, the dots, the dummies on the street, this information, they have no clue. But I think the average person wouldn't either, because especially if you're in the East Coast, you would think, okay, the government owns some, probably 5, 10% would probably be most people's guess. For example, Virginia, it's slightly under 10%. Michigan is exactly 10%. So most of the land in the East Coast towards the middle of the country is privately held. However, most of the West, that's Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, and even California, a lot of the land is owned by the federal government. For example, Colorado, a lot of people go skiing. Usually when you're going skiing, you're skiing on land that's been leased from the Forest Service. In Colorado, it's over 36%, 36.6%, and it's primarily forest land. Now, most of this land is managed by two federal agencies, one being the Bureau of Land Management and the other being the U.S. Forest Service. They're the bureaucrats or the bureaucracy that have federal responsibility for managing this land. Now, what they do is lease this land to private individuals that, for example, let's say you own cattle and need to graze the cattle. You can pay fees and lease not the land, you would have the right to graze your cattle on government land. And they collect fees annually to do that. The same thing is for logging. If you're logging on federally owned land, you can pay fees. And those are probably the two biggest uses of it. But you have others, for example, like the skiing. You can lease land as well as cropland. So the Bureau of Land Management, they have overall responsibility for this, with the exception of the, obviously, U.S. Park Service that manages the forest. And I have a couple of videos on that that'll give you the background. Now, why is this important? Why should you be interested in this? One is just the question, should the federal government own this much land? And my answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Especially, I really underline, especially when the federal government owes today, the national debt is over $17.4 trillion. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then you have unfunded liabilities, mainly for Social Security and Medicare, and now Obamacare, in excess of $120 trillion. You see, the federal government is bankrupt in the sense that it's obligations, its liabilities, more than exceed its assets. But they do have assets. Ladies and gentlemen, they definitely have assets. Because what is on, especially these western states' land? Yes, you guessed it, natural gas and oil. And the world is crying out for natural gas and oil. But much of it, I would say nearly all of it, especially the new fields that are being developed, they weren't developed on government land or federal land. It was private land. You know, President Obama likes to take credit. Well, the United States is now a net exporter of gasoline. We have an energy boom. What he doesn't mention is the fact that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get new permits to explore on these lands. Now, I'll explore that subject in a later show. But I want to confine it and really make a connection to a story that is in the news today. And that story is there are approximately, well, there are several dozen, I don't know the exact head count, federal agents as well as contractors, cowboys, rounding up cattle on government land in Nevada, in southern Nevada in Clark County. They're using at least two helicopters to do this, and they have a lot of new equipment. Brand new equipment to haul the cattle away. And they're now, are we talking huge herds of thousands of head of cattle? No, we're talking an estimated maybe 900 head of cattle. Now, why are they doing it? They're spending a lot of money to do this, by the way. And there are videos on it. Well, you have a rancher, and I need to say his religious affiliate. He's a Mormon, has a very large family, many grandchildren, very proud of it. I think he said he had 12 sons and daughters and 48 grandchildren. And his family has been ranching, cattle ranching, in this area for generations, since the 1800s, where what's now considered government land was range, and cattle would graze. And they need to graze because much of what's out there, it's desert, folks. It's desert. You need a lot of land to support the grazing of just a few head of cattle. Now, this gentleman is probably one of the few cattle ranchers left. There's some that are still there, but he used to pay the fees. Then he stopped. Because the fees were being used really to go after his right to do this. Now, I don't want to make the issue this specific case, although it illustrates something. When the federal government wants to make a special case of someone, an example of someone, they go all out. Now, somewhat to the government's credit, they tried and tried and tried. Remember, this is going on nearly 20 years. I think he stopped paying in 1998. Now, that's not an excuse. You should pay your fees. But the point is, and you can see the pictures, this is not, don't think it's grassland. This is desert. And there's some grazing, but you need a lot of land for those cattle to feed. So what the U.S. government is doing it's already been doing it since Sunday, it's bringing in a lot of law enforcement, Bureau of Land Management agents, as well as cowboys that they've hired to police this area because people are demonstrating against doing this. And remember, most of the land in Nevada, over 85% or nearly 85%, I think it's 84, Well, it's over 84%, 84.5. It's going to fluctuate, but not much, because no one wants, with the, unless you're going to Las Vegas, this is barren country. You can go for miles and miles and miles and not see anybody. There's a highway, 170, that runs near where the Bureau of Land Management is bringing in these trucks and trailers and helicopters, all to gather approximately 900 head of cattle. Now, who owns the cattle? This rancher owns the cattle, but the cattle has been trespassing on federal lands, and that's a crime. I believe it's a misdemeanor, and he's been warned about it. But I think this is more than overkill. I'm not saying you don't need people to round up the cattle, but how much money is the federal government spending to get this cattle? And yes, beef prices are going to skyrocket, are skyrocketing. And that's another thing I want to point out. Have you been to the grocery store lately? What's happened to beef prices? They've gone up, up, and up. And this is continuing. Why? Because we have a drought in the United States, not only in Texas, but in the Southwest and in some farm areas. A serious drought because we haven't been getting enough rainfall. Where in even this part of the country, city after city is enforcing either you can only water your lawn 2 days a week for a certain amount of time, and in some places only once a week. So the drought is a problem. Now, we've had some rain lately, but it's not enough. It's almost as bad. The last time it was this bad was in the early 1950s. So it's over 60 years ago that we really had such a bad drought. And that's just the nature of weather and the climate. It does change all the time. I've been in Dallas for, 30 years. I've lived in Dallas, Texas 30 years. I've also lived in Fort Worth for several. So I have a fair assessment of the weather. And the joke in Texas, if you don't like the weather, just stick around. It'll change. I remember when I first came to Texas, when I got out of the Air Force, it was at Fort Worth when General Dynamics was making the F-16 fighter planes. And I was hired to be senior contract administrator for the F-16 international programs. That was a long time ago, folks. But I remember those first couple of years in August, and August is the killer, folks. We had day after day after day of over 100 degrees, like 100, not 101, 105, 110. I think it got up to about 114 or 115. And consecutive days. Now, does that mean all Augusts are like that? No, but in August, if you're in Texas, it's going to be hot. Now, you don't have the humidity of Houston. That's the one good thing. It's a dry heat is the phrase, but it's hot. And if it weren't for air conditioning, I don't think many people would be living in Texas. They would be going home. But technology makes it at least bearable when you have those 100-degree days. Now, what's worse is the rain is usually in the springtime, and we're heading towards the end of that season. We need a lot of rain fast, and we're hoping for rain, so I'm not against it raining. But the point I'm trying to make is there are people, cattle ranchers, farmers, that are critically concerned about the weather. And when this is the third year in a row of a drought, many of them have already gone out of business, and this could literally be a make or break year. And you're seeing it in food prices, especially for beef. This is the high it's ever been for beef prices. So we should be encouraging people to raise cattle. The more cattle you have, hopefully the lower the prices. You know, it's supply and demand. But I'm warning you, See, I'm very, very fortunate. And many, many years ago, I decided not that I don't eat beef. Occasionally I do, but rarely do I. It's not, unless I'm going out to eat or on a business trip where that's closest thing around, like a hamburger or something, I normally do not eat beef. I eat a lot of fish. I eat a lot of turkey, chicken, but I don't eat beef. Still, I'm getting affected because I like milk. So milk prices have been soaring. They're up quite a bit already, but that, you know, I can remember we could buy a gallon of milk for a buck. Now it's, if you go to one of these large stores, it's $3, $2.99. Yeah, you're going to have a sale and a special. You might get a deal. I mean, I was coming into the campus. I had to stop at Kroger, the grocery store, and I need to get just a few items. And I went past, mainly bananas. I like bananas. I passed the milk, and one was on sale, but but since it's a hot day, I almost picked it up and was going to gamble. I'll put it in the trunk. Hopefully it won't go bad. I probably could have got away. And I need to stop when I was, like I said, I was in a rush. When I go home today, I'm going to stop again. If it's still there, I'm going to grab it. I doubt it will be there. I think the gallon was like $1.50. They were trying to get rid of it because in 7 days it goes bad. Well, in 7 days I can finish that gallon because I usually use it for cereal. Anyway, food prices, especially beef, are going up. You would think the federal government would encourage ranchers, especially given the drought, to use federal land, maybe even cut their fees, for example. No, not this government. They're really going to make an example of this rancher. They're going to get all his cattle, and they'll probably sell it. And that's probably what's driving it. Man, we could make a killing here. Let's put out of business this rancher. You know, we've been trying to work for him. Let's get the guy. Let's get him. Now, I don't know if this operation is going to break even. With two helicopters are not cheap, folks, because you got to hire a pilot to fly them. And what are they using the helicopters for? To gather the cattle, because they're scattered. You got it. They're all over the place because there's not much grass to eat. So the cattle wander on this government land. Now, the only time that the owner of this cattle needs to worry about them, besides the winter, is when he's going to take them to market. And that is, I think, that's part of what's going on here. Someone has said, you know, listen, beef prices are through the roof. Let's take this guy's cattle and auction it, sell it. And that would pay. Now, the rancher says he owes about $300,000 in fees. Remember, he hasn't been paying his fees for many years. I think going on at least 17, something like that. Now, the government says he owes over $1 million. I don't know who's telling the truth, and I have no idea what his cattle would bring at market. I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I'm really a cost-benefit guy. Okay, that's the benefit. That's the revenue. Well, how much is it going to cost? I'm willing to bet this is probably the first time that they said, you know, maybe we can break even or even make some money here. I don't know, but I think it's a factor. What's disturbing is just the size of the turnout in terms of Bureau of Land Management agents. They're really to intimidate you. And there's a free speech angle in this, and I'm not really following this closely, but apparently on government land, you don't have your rights to free speech. That's the impression I get. In other words, what the Bureau of Land Management has done, and this is hard to believe, but until I saw the photos, they've set aside an area where you can exercise your free speech and in a little area for the media. There's nobody there. They're anticipating, though, that you will have protesters protesting this action. And they want to have a media area. It's just a piece of desert surrounded by some of this plastic orange fencing you've seen. And the same thing, there's a designated demonstrator area. But outside of that area, you can't demonstrate or exercise your free speech. And they arrested this guy's son that was taking pictures of him and held him overnight, supposedly for resisting arrest. I'm not going to discuss or take a side on the merits of this case, but I will take a position on the fact that given the out-of-control federal government in terms of spending, what they're doing, one, you shouldn't be spending such large quantities of money, which they are, to do this. Now, let me give you, and when I heard this, I about fell out of my seat. Remember, in terms of Nevada, 84% of it is government land. And there's, I'm sure, some of it, very little of it, some of it is generating some income. Not much, but some. But why do you think, one of the reasons why the government really doesn't want cattle grazing in this area is to protect the desert tortoise, a turtle. Can you believe it, ladies? A turtle. The United States is experienced skyrocketing beef prices, and we have environmentalists and the Bureau of Land Management protecting the desert tortoise. Now, supposedly, the population of these desert tortoises have gone down. Maybe it's because of the hot weather. Maybe I'll give them a clue. There's a drought going on. And when there's a drought going on, there's little water. And tortoises need water. And guess what? They also eat plants just to survive. And it's difficult for the desert tortoise to survive. But whether or not this species survives or not, I think it's more important that humans and Americans survive, including businesses that try to scratch out a living, and they've been doing it for over 100 years, in the cattle ranching business. Instead, we have environmental wackos, and that's what they are. They're nutcases, folks. I listened to a gentleman that is on his hobby. He's an environmentalist, complaining about some of these ranchers have put out these plastic yellow buckets, and they put like molasses, they put a mixture. Think of it as cattle vitamins and supplements. And it reminds me, I forgot to take my vitamin and supplement today, and I needed to, and I will after the show. But what they do is they put out these buckets, and the cattle, and this is during the winter, the cattle go to it, and they like these, and they eat that. And then that enables them, they get their more than their fill of vitamins and minerals that they need to graze on the plant life that's still around. And he was complaining about the yellow buckets. It's litter. Ladies and gentlemen, this is barren desert as far as the eye can see. Now, it does have some greenery, mainly just shrubs. There is some grassland, but it's not a high tourist area. Other than Las Vegas, you don't want to go out here. It's hard to make a living out there, but some people have succeeded. It's a hard scrabble life. That said, what we're finding, and it's through the West. The West has a lot of desert. It's not all desert, but there's a lot of desert. They have mountains too. But it's there that we're finding the natural gas and oil. I'm not saying in this area, although it could be there. But the federal government is preventing the development of government land. This is just another reason why I'm in favor of having the federal government sell off literally or nearly all of the land that it has. With the exceptions, the only exceptions are we need some land for military reservations to conduct training, and that's not only the Army, such as the Fort Hood, which is one of the largest army bases, but also for example, firing ranges for when the Air Force and the Navy and Marines run simulated combat missions in the desert. And they have that land. But other than that, and for a few national forests, we have plenty of national forests, by the way. The rest should be sold not to the states, but to private individuals. And then those individuals can do with it what they want. And if you're an environment and concerned about the desert tortoise, then buy big chunks of Clark County. If that's your concern, that's your priority, put your money where your mouth is. Buy this land. There's not much you can do with it. Yeah, they got a highway, and I'm sure there's some fast food restaurants and a gas station every 100 miles or so. But as far as the eye can see, you don't see anything but horizon. Now, there may be, and that's why that's one of the things this vicinity is where they ran some of the nuclear tests. They don't do that anymore. They still have Los Alamos. But that's the big picture, really. It's more than past the time where we have a Department of Interior, and in the Department of Interior, we have a Bureau of Land Management. That is just one federal department that needs to be eliminated, permanently eliminated. And I'm looking at a video where I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 6 SUVs. Doesn't mean I have them all. And they probably carry at least two officers. That's at least a dozen officers. And they're standing around. I guess they anticipated that they were going to have a lot of demonstrators. And apparently there's a network of them that may show up and support this rancher. Apparently they've done it in the past. And the Bureau of Land Management obviously doesn't want the publicity. That's why they're trying to control it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what the collectivists in Washington, D.C. are all about. It's power and control, and exercising that control and squeezing the small business owner out. Now, this does not give the rancher an excuse not to pay the fees. I'm very much for law and order and the rule of law, but we have a president that thinks he can write the law and not enforce the laws that he doesn't want. I think the mistake was made for this to drag out, not for years, for decades. I saw that and I said, well, if you did this the first year or two, I could understand, but to let this gentleman use this land repeatedly, that's not excusable. Because he's right. If the government doesn't stop him from doing this, and what the gentleman is saying, well, I have the right. This is public property, and I'm using, and what I do benefits that public property. It also benefits him, because he is obviously makes money from cattle. So this is apparently a big news story on Drudge. He has three or four articles relating to it. I wanted to give a little bigger picture and relate it to the land situation in the United States, because this should really trigger a discussion about this. The federal government should sell off the federal lands, especially in the West, where anywhere from a third to over 80% of the land is controlled by the federal government. With that, you have been listening to KDUX Rep Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.